الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. Still speaking on the various types of knowledge, we had outlined one is the deeni knowledge, which is the most superior, which is directly from Allah Ta'ala. Then dunyawi knowledge was also necessary, Allah taught it also, but there was no emphasis. And whatever fazilat, virtues they are mentioned of knowledge is not of dunya's knowledge, but that is solely for deeni knowledge. All the virtues that are mentioned, هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, and in the hadith sharif, so فَضْلُ الْعَالِمْ عَلَى الْعَابِدِ, all that is for deeni knowledge. This dunya's knowledge, we had come to that point, which was a necessity, and always the religious people taught that knowledge. And the people then learned it in their small little groups, they used to teach it. But since about 200-300 years or 300-400 years ago, a group in Europe was born that perhaps it was the founder was Julius Caesar or whoever it was, that he had made a complete distinction between secular and dunyavi things. That's dunya's things, then they made the distinction, but today secular has overpowered. So much so that we are unmindful that we call dunya's knowledge, we also call it secular education. And we have many governments in the world which are secular governments. What does secular mean? Secular means everything minus, besides Allah Ta'ala. That Allah has got no share in that. And this dunya's knowledge, for example, up to all the time, all religions used to teach that Allah is the creator of mankind, Allah is the maker. But when they took out Allah from the equation, then they had to answer, then who created man? Because now they don't believe they're in Allah, and they took out Allah completely, became hardcore atheists. So then they came up with the stupid theory, which is still today a theory. A theory is what somebody has, then he provides proof and it becomes a fact. But till today it's a theory, Darwin's theory of evolution, that man was born from a monkey. And that is just a theory of this, and it can never ever be possible that man was born from a monkey. A simple answer which our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali had given to this was that in your Kruger National Park in South Africa, you have got millions of monkeys. So in the history of monkeys, if one monkey could become a human being, then why till today hasn't a second monkey also become a human being? We find that in one house, one son becomes a Hafiz, the other son can also become. And many family, the whole family are all Hafiz. They are all Maulanas. So if one could become a monkey, one monkey, in all the monkeys of the world, why hasn't a second monkey become a human being? So this is all their monkey business. And they're making monkeys out of us. And we don't realize it. We might just laugh it off or smile it off, but they are taking us into kufr in what we call secular education. And this is such a serious matter. Very long ago, in the beginning days of the madrasa, some students from Makkah Sharif also came in study here. They were small, young boys, and their parents also came. And Haji Sahab always used to look after our visitors, take them around, and make them comfortable. So he took them to the Sterkfontein caves. I think it's got some other name now. So anyway, there when he took them, on a plaque was written this Darwin's theory of evolution. And Haji Sahab also, he knows, he listens to the talks also. So explain to them how wrong this is. That where can a human being be born from a monkey? So they said, what are you telling us? This is taught in the schools of Makkah. To the children in the schools of Makkah, Darwin's theory of evolution is being taught. Then they were faced with another thing. That when they took out Allah, Allah does not exist, Allah, there isn't Allah, Allah doesn't do anything, there is no Allah. Then, how did the world come into existence? How did the entire universe, because all religious education, whether it was Jewish, whether it was Christian, whether it was Islamic, all taught that Allah is the creator. Now, how did the world come into existence? Then they came up with the stupid Big Bang theory, that there was a huge bang that took place and everything fell into so perfect place. Forget anything else. If you just think of your body, every human being is a atom, is a world of his own. And how the brains who are working, how the heart is functioning, the valves of the heart, how they open by split seconds of a million split seconds, open, close, and in complete synchronization with the other one. If it has to falter a little bit, the person will die. He'll have a problem. How they open, pass the blood to the next valves open, receive it, pass it on to the next, pass it on to the lungs purify the blood, take out all the carbon dioxide which is in it, put fresh oxygen in it which is inhaled from the nose, all the oxygen. We hardly realize it's happening, but even while you're sleeping it's happening. Even when you're in a coma it is happening. And then Allah Ta'ala put the filters in the nose to purify the air that it needs pure oxygen. And Allah put an aircon in the nose that the correct temperature, if it goes too cold, you'll become sick. If it's hot, too hot, so it corrects the temperature that oxygen goes. And the blood becomes new blood again. And one drop of blood in one day, one drop, travels 100,000 kilometers. Think about it. One drop, continuously it's traveling. In 24 hours, it travels 100,000 kilometers. And if it has to stuck anywhere, you got a heart attack. Or you got a stroke in the brain. If that blood has to stuck anywhere, or just stop also, traveling 100,000 kilometers, if it just has to stop, which we call that the blockage, whether if it's in the head, it's called a stroke, you can become paralyzed with that. If it is with the heart, we call it a heart attack, blood didn't reach, you'd die. If it's a major heart attack, you die immediately. So what is this great qudrat of Allah? So all this anyway was taught by the religious groups. But since about 300-400 years, now they separated. And they said that this human being, I was explaining on that, that how Allah has made, just if you think of the human being, just on the heart, and we went a little bit, digressed a bit there. But every part, the liver, the kidneys, the brains, the ears, the eyes, the tongue, the nose, all the functioning of the body, the nervous system, the digestive system, respiratory system, what systems Allah Ta'ala has kept. Can this all have happened with one big bang? And not one human being. If there was Allah just made one human being, it was something to be totally amazed about. But according to World Health Organization, 250,000 babies are born every day in the world. Which means that 250,000 factory, baby factories, Allah has got. Where the baby is made, يَخْرُجُكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا يَخْلُقُكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ خَلْقًا مِنْ بَعْدِ خَلْقٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ ثَلَاثٍ. How Allah Ta'ala creates this mankind. And step by step, all this could be a big bang that it happened. If I have a glass in my hand, yes, carpet at the bottom, if I drop it, it most probably won't break. But if it's on tile, on concrete, and I drop the glass, it will break. And by that bang, it makes a bang when it breaks. So by that bang, does the glass get made or does it break? It breaks. A small bang breaks the glass. And such a big bang that made the whole world. So this is when they went to secular and they took out Allah. Today, whether it's a simple subject like maths, science, or even language, English is not taught as a language, not at school level and not at university. It's taught as a philosophy. It's taught as a religion. In about the early 90s, before the transition of the government in South Africa, there was a seminar that was held on education, not Islamic education, worldly education, from government level. and they inspected the education, that are we teaching the right things, are we doing it the right way, all the details, the amount of hours we teach, the amount of days we teach, everything. In there one question came, that why do we still teach Shakespeare? Because Shakespeare is old Victorian English, and today nobody speaks in thee and thou language. Everyone speaks you, etc. In modern English, no books, medical books, law books or engineering textbooks are in old English. All are in modern English. Then why do we still insist on teaching the old English? The answer they made, no bones about. They did not chew their words. Very clearly they said, our idea of giving a student a matric certificate that he has passed, he has got his matric certificate, is that we are now satisfied that this boy, this child, girl, boy, has got a modern Western Christian mind. Modern Western Christian mind. That is why we are giving him the certificate now. So that is what they produce. Remember any syllabus which I want to discuss about our syllabus in our madaris, our Dars-e-Nizami, and particularly in our madrasa, the few things extra we got, it's not just the subject, there's something behind it. So Shakespeare is, and English is not a subject only. We just look at it, my English will be good. Language, but the person who made it, he hasn't got that in mind. He has got in mind a complete ideology of yours, a complete philosophy, your religion, your way of thinking. That is what is in his mind. So they want to produce, and they said, why we teach Shakespeare is there is no other work that we have that can give us this results of producing a modern Western Christian mind. The best we can achieve this is through Shakespeare. And if you think a little bit, I don't know now, but when we were at school, and Allah forgive us for having gone to school also, and gone to university also, but anyway, at that time, English was made of three subjects, literature, letter writing essay, and grammar. Is it still the same? And the most marks are for literature. Not for letter writing, not for grammar. If you are good English, then your grammar must be good. Your spelling must be good. Your language, your sentence structure must be good. You write a good essay. You write, that is what is language. But why is literature the most important? And if you, and literature has got the most marks. And literature, what is intensive study, what they call, is Shakespeare. That you have, and if you fail Shakespeare, you'll fail your English. And if you fail your English, you fail your whole matric. Even the other five subjects or whatever, you get distinctions. But if you have failed language, you have failed completely. So why? Because they hinge it all, that ideology which they are. You are thinking I'm studying Shakespeare, Julius Caesar, Macbeth, King Lear, any other book of Shakespeare, but actually you are studying an ideology of Christianity, Westernism, and modernism to create that mind and intensive study. You're studying it till 2 o'clock in the morning. You are having classes weekends. You are studying it all the time. You are learning it of parrot fashion. You are learning and poetry again. All the poetry also. And most of the poems also of Shakespeare. Then of his other disciples, Milton or whoever else it is. This is all their stuff. So the idea is to produce a modern Western Christian mind. And that was then. Now it is complete atheism. That education, which they call the name, just analyze and check, what does secularism mean? A secular state, anything which is secular, and we call the secular education. It is to make a person an atheist eventually. And the sad part, as I mentioned first, the religion, whether it was Christianity, or it was Hinduism also, or it was Judaism, Islam, all dunya's knowledge was taught through the masjid, through the dini institution. The masjid, the temple, there everything was taught. Today they have overpowered us, and we promoting, helping them to promote that everything is done in the university. Today even religious education is taught through the university. All Arab countries, Pakistan for example, you do your MA in Islamiyat. You do your doctor's degree in Islamiyat. So deen is taught now through the university. Whereas first dunya was taught through deen. Through the masjid, the halqa in the masjid, the whole of dunya also was taught. And now they have changed the table so much and we're sleeping. At most we are studying in a darulum, 6 months our mind is in one groove and we don't think of what is happening, we don't open our horizons, we don't understand what is education. And what who have planned that Dars-e-Nizami is 100% answer for all the onslaughts of education and on deen. And in our madrasa that we have kept a few other things is to fight all this. It's not just the subject that is there. Many students find it, many ustads find it hard, too many subjects, too hard, how can you learn this? But you don't realize there is an ideology to bring the true Islam and which will overpower the modern day concept of education, not just to fight against it, but to overpower it. They have made their things that they have overpowered our education. Today how many maulanas going to teach in universities, going to teach in Islamic schools? We are fitting into their system. We must overpower their system as it was for thousands of years. It was that deen, every religion overpowered dunya. Deen was ghalib. Religion, mazhab was ghalib over dunya. But today they have made it that they have become ghalib upon us. And when you're learning in a university, with suit and tie, you are learning Islamiyat, you are becoming a doctor, a philosopher of Islam, with suit and tie, with your shoes on, you are sitting at a table and desk, and without exaggeration, you are smoking, and you are reading Bukhari Sharif. Bukhari is just one textbook, you just push it that side. You push Quran Sharif, you just push it like a textbook. And in that way, what deen can come? But today, this has been now, and today we are suffering from an inferiority complex that a person who got a MA in Islamiyat, he got his doctorate in which university? Oxford University. Not even in a Pakistani university, but in Oxford University, in Cambridge University, in a University of America, he's done his Islamiyat from there. We are impressed with that. So this is a very, very sad state of affairs which we must try and understand. Inshallah, we will discuss more on this, inshallah. Subhanallah.